On a lovely spring morning. The Lord be with you. Now, please be seated. The first thing, if you are having trouble hearing the music or me, wave at me. I will then wave at Mark, and he will do things with the knobs and dials at the back and hopefully improve the volume. If that doesn't hurt, may I suggest that a hearing test? But we'll do what we can with the technology that we have. So, verses of Scripture are read from Revelation 4. You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honour and power. For you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he that has made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Just before we sing, there should have been another announcement, which is a good morning to Paul and Kathy from CMS. Obviously,
BCA.
Obviously, I'm still in holiday mode. I'm supposed to meet Eric at 6 o'clock on Thursday night. Around about 8 o'clock on Thursday night, I thought I should have been at the rectory 2 hours ago. So definitely still in holiday mode. Anyway, let us stand and sing a hymn, and hopefully I can actually relate to all of the words.
We'll be fine. We're in the forgiveness business.
Right. Please be seated. We are the people of God, and the scripture reminds us that we still sin. We need to confess our failures, knowing that Jesus has died for us and intercedes for us with the Father, who freely forgives us. From Psalm 51, have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, for I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. And from later on in Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. So let us draw near to God with sincerity and confidence and pray together. Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, you have loved us with an everlasting love, but we have gone our own way and broken your law in our thoughts, words and deeds, and in what we have failed to do. We are sorry for our sins and turn away from them. For the sake of your Son who died for us, forgive us, cleanse us and change us. By your Holy Spirit, enable us to live for you and to bring you honour and glory in all we do. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's say together the prayer of thanksgiving. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we humbly thank you for all your gifts so freely given, for life and health and safety, for work and rest and friendship, and for the wonder of creation. Above all, we praise you for our Saviour Jesus Christ, for his death and resurrection, for your life-giving spirit and the hope of sharing in your glory. Fill our hearts with all joy and peace in believing, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And let us stand and say the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We'll now sing our next hymn, Be Still for the Presence of the Lord. Please be seated. Mark will now lead us in prayers.
The Collect for the 14th Ordinary Sunday. Let us pray in our weakness to be made strong. Almighty God, whose Son revealed in signs and miracles the wonder of your saving love, renew your people by your heavenly grace, and in all our weakness sustain us by your mighty power. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Please join me with me in prayer. Almighty God, we come into your presence with confidence, not because of who we are and what we have done, but because of who you are and what you have done for us in the life, death, and resurrection of your Son, Jesus. Lord of the universe, we come into your presence with shame for how we have failed you. We have ignored you as our God and elevated ourselves as the rulers of our own lives, seeking our will to be done rather than yours. Heavenly Father, we come into your presence with thanksgiving because of your grace and mercy, which are motivated by your steadfast and faithful love. We celebrate your gift of life and all the many blessings you provide, but more importantly, we celebrate your gift of eternal life, made possible through the great blessing of forgiveness that you provide when we put our faith in Jesus. Eternal Lord, we come into your presence with hope for the future, based on your faithfulness and intervention in the past and your very present help in our current times of trouble. You are the God who never changes, but we pray that you might change us through the power of your Holy Spirit to become more like you as we conform to the image of your Son, our Saviour. Lord God, we come into your presence with joy. Enable us to rejoice in the Lord always. Teach us to be content in all circumstances, yet empower us to seek justice for all people. Help us to live in peace and harmony, yet keep us from hiding our light under a table. Rather, let the light of Jesus shine in us and through us, so that others might be brought to eternal life in him. We also pray for our world in its chaos and confusion. Bring compassion where there is cruelty. Bring relief where there is suffering. Bring healing where there is sickness. Bring comfort where there is sadness and sorrow. Bring your truth where there is ignorance. Bring your light where there is spiritual darkness. Bring your eternal life to those who are spiritually dead. Father, we remember in prayer before you our friends and fellow members of your family here at St. Giles. We pray for Margaret Roberts and Fleur Fowler, for Graham Lowther and Vernon Ireland, for Murray Holmes and Felicity Purdy, for Rowan Allen and Duncan Lapton, and for all those who need your help. We pray for Julie and her work in CMS. We pray for Sue and Richard Davies and their work with AIM. We pray for Mark and Rachel Landrum and their work with the International Mission to Jewish People. We pray especially today for the work of Paul and Kathy and their work with BCA. Our prayer for all these people is that they may continue to grow in their faith and their likeness to Jesus, so that their witness may increase and their work for you may bear fruit for your kingdom. Encourage and empower us all to remain your witnesses and ambassadors. Keep us faithful to you as your children, as you are to us as our loving Heavenly Father. These things we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Please join with me now in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Right, every Sunday we have a spot. Sometimes the spot is we're just moving straight on. This morning the spot is going to be Paul talking to us about BCA. So, Paul, please come forward. Right, okay, let me press that button. Then I press that button. Then I sit down.
The Bush Church Aid Society was formed in 1919. Our mission then, as it is now, was to make disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ in regional, rural, and remote parts of Australia. For more than 100 years, we've been going the distance, serving and ministering in numerous places and contexts. From our beginning to this very day, BCA has been a missionary society. So that means we send people. Right now, we have over 30 workers in the field, serving in diverse roles and in many places across this land. Many are ordained ministers leading healthy churches, but some are planting churches. Others are Indigenous ministers. There are parish-based evangelists, and still others work with children, youth, and families. And for many of our field staff, they have young families themselves, trusting God with their children's needs, with the isolation, and with loneliness. For over 100 years and into the future, BCA is still going house to house and farm to farm, still pioneering and leading churches, still working with young people and their families, still serving and equipping Indigenous people, still caring for the least, the last, and the lost. All in the name of Jesus and bringing the forgiveness, mercy, hope, and grace that He alone offers.
Proceed. G'day, Paul Sampson's my name and Kathy is with me today, and we are not from CMS but one of those other TLAs, one of those other three-letter acronyms, BCA, and I'll tell you what BCA is all about in just a minute. A little about me and my credentials. I was born in the westernmost town in New South Wales, so a quick geography quiz, what would that be? Broken Hill, correct, yeah, well done. You get a free pen for that correct answer. Come and see me later. Yeah, born in Broken Hill and then spent some years in Tamworth, and then I found out I've got a connection with Eric here. I did most of my schooling in Gunnedah. So I'm a bush boy at heart, though it's fair to say I haven't lived there for many years. I've been ministering in Sydney and other places around the world, including Kenya. Let me tell you then, what is BCA all about? The ABC of BCA, if I can put it that way. The ABC of BCA. A is for all of Australia. So I think in Sydney, we do a pretty good job of reaching the suburbs. But there's a whole lot of Australia that's out there in the regional and remote and rural areas. In fact, the stats are that 7 million people live in regional and remote Australia. 28% of our population are outside of the major metropolitan areas. And that's what BCA is all about, reaching all of Australia. Reaching them to do what? Well, to establish and encourage and build up Bible-based ministries. B for Bible-based ministries. We're not a social club. We're trying to ensure that Bible-based ministries then go across Australia to what ends? To see, C for Christchurch, to see Christchurch built up across the nation. That's what BCA is all about. We've been around a while, as the video said, and currently in these 30 locations around the country, and there's some vacancies still. So we're seeking that the Lord would continue to raise up people to support these ministries. We have not just pastors being supported in churches, ministers across the country, but also evangelists. So if you go to my poster over morning tea, you'll see there a picture of the Damons, who are out in Mudgee, and they are there as evangelists. So they don't so much go door to door, but they go farm gate to farm gate. And what people we find in the bush when you go farm gate to farm gate, if you find somebody home, they've got time to chat. They don't get many visitors, and so it's a really good opportunity to actually share Christ farm gate to farm gate across the Mudgee area and beyond. So that's one. We have Indigenous ministries, we have children's ministries being supported. So Rachel Bell up in Dubbo is supporting the Scripture in Schools ministries across that whole kind of region, from Bathurst up to Dubbo and out west. There are families ministries, there are churches being planted. So Gendervine, which we would know as a place to go skiing, but people live there all year round. And Trent and Alice McGrath went down there at the beginning of 2020. Beginning of 2020 is not a real butte time to try and start a ministry, of course. We went into lockdown shortly after for most of the next couple of years. But under God, they have seen that ministry grow. And their number one challenge at the moment is a tremendous challenge to have. They have outgrown the building. So that ministry has been growing steadily, and now they need to either think about having a second service or finding an alternative venue. And there are new ministries being approved, and even as we speak, there's sort of discussions to have people go to the likes of Cowra and Cobar and West Wyalong. How to support BCA? Well, the first thing I'd want to say is, some of you know a lot about BCA, and thank you for having us up on your website. And some of you might have been connected with BCA for many years. But if that's not you, then take a moment to get to know what BCA is all about. Up on the table at the back there, I have these Real Australians. It's a terrific little magazine we put out quarterly with stories from around the country, from our field staff, and what they're doing out there in the bush in ministering the Word of God in their various locations. So that's the first thing, get to know us. And the second thing is pray for the ministries. And again, to help you there, we have this prayer diary. It has a couple of people on each day of the month. There's a little bit of information about them, and then a prayer point. It's a really good prayer diary to keep you praying for the ministries across the country. And you can pick up a copy of those from the table at the back there as well, to pray for our ministries. That's also a way actually get to know the ministries, by reading through and praying through. That's how you'll get to know who's who in the zoo in BCA, and be praying for them. And of course, that's the case, isn't it? All our ministries here or wherever they are around the country, around the world, we need to underpin those ministries with prayer. So I'd encourage you to grab a copy of those prayer notes. We can send them to you. Or, if that's your thing, you can get them on your phone electronically. You can get them through the prayer app. So that's the third thing. The third thing I should say is give. Obviously, it's expensive to keep ministry supported across the country, and so I would encourage you, if you see that this is the way the Lord is leading you to support these ministries, then to do that. You see a picture of the BCA boxes there, and some of you might have been faithfully giving through the boxes. That's still an option. But for many of us, we don't carry cash. Do you carry cash anymore, Paul? You do? You're a cash guy? Okay. You keep going with your box then, and the slot is big enough to stuff those $50 notes in. No worries at all. That's designed specifically for that. But for those of us who don't carry cash anymore, there's a thing called a computer, and you can go onto that and you can just sync it so that you can give directly rather than giving cash. And I want to highlight this to you. Of course, there are significant costs involved by way of property and admin costs in running any organisation. BCA has been able to configure its investments such that now, that's the way it used to be, that some of the donations would go to property and admin, but watch the subtle change in this next slide. Now, 100% of money given goes to support mission and mission support. In other words, none of your money donated goes to property and admin. We fund that from investments and, if necessary, from bequests if there's not enough investment income. So rather than sometimes a very large percentage being kind of taken off to support the property and admin costs, 100% of your donations will go to support mission. Okay, and the fourth thing is, so get to know us, pray for us, give, go. There's two options I want to talk to you about there. One is that maybe you are into travelling around the country, and many people in their retirement years do that. And we have the BCA Nomads, and these are a group of typically older people who have their caravan or their camper van and travel around the country and visit the various places where BCA field staff are, and they go to encourage them, to meet with them, to have a meal with them, to pray for them, to provide kind of ministry support in the field. And sometimes, so Kathy and I are going to an Indigenous conference up in Gilgandra in a couple of weekends' time, and some BCA Nomads are coming to provide support in terms of cooking meals for that conference. Sometimes it's to assist in the maintenance of a building or out in the bush, or it might be the support children's program while they're running a mission or something like that. So if that's of interest to you, again, there's a brochure there. Come and talk to me about that. Or maybe you're thinking, we're going to move to the bush. And if that's the case, then I'd love to talk to you in terms of connecting you with a church in the country. Because as Eric would tell you, it's just fantastic when well-equipped people come from the city and come with a heart to serve ministries in the bush. So if that's you, please do come and talk to me about it. And I'm around later. I can see the kettle boiling there, so I assume after the end of the service we have morning tea. Is that right? Be happy to have a chat with you then. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you, Paul. Let's stand and sing our next hymn. I'll sing the wondrous song. Thank you. Please be seated. Thank you, Father, for making yourself known to us and for showing us the way of salvation through faith in your Son. We ask you now to teach and encourage us through your word, so that we may be ready to serve you, for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And Sharon will now come and do the Bible readings.
Good morning. The Bible reading this morning is Matthew 25. And it's verses 14 to 30 on page 807 of the Church Bibles. So that's Matthew 25, verse 14 to 30. For it is as if a man, going on a journey, summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents. To another, Sorry, to one he gave $5, to another two, to another one, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had the 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, "Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." And the one with the 2 talents also came forward, saying, "Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, "Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, have what is yours." But his master replied, "You wicked and lazy slave, you knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him, give it to the one with the 10 talents. For to all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Right. Is there a sermon? Right. Or is there a hymn first? Right. Over to you, Paul.
Sorry, I was picking another slide to come up.
Friends, it'd be useful to have that passage open in front of us that was just read for us. What version of the Bible was that one?
New RSV.
Terrific. Okay. Marvellous. Let's pray as we come to God's word. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word and thank you that you speak to us through your word, and we pray that you would do that this morning as we have heard your word read, and now as we look at it more closely, Father, would you speak to us? But we ask more than just having a hearing of it. We ask, Lord, that you might give us an understanding of your word and that you would so convict us through your Holy Spirit that as a result of hearing and understanding, we would change to become more like Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Now, it's been a little bit difficult to travel overseas for some time, but going back some years ago, my brother was going overseas and with his family, and they were going away for a fair while. And when you're going overseas for a fair while, you want to entrust some of your valuable possessions to someone who's going to be reliably able to look after them. So it was Christmas time, and they said to us, "Hey, do you mind looking after our dog? It's a Labrador called Rufus." And we said, "Yeah, that'd be terrific." We didn't have a dog at the time. Love to look after your dog while you're away. So we took possession of Rufus, and then they left the next day to go overseas. And I came home from work, and I noticed that the side gate was open, and that's a little bit unusual. And so I, Kathy was home at the time, and I said to Kathy, "Hey, Rufus, have you got him?" And she said, "No, is he not out the back?" "No, he's not." We looked, he was gone. She then called out upstairs to the kids, "Come down now, Rufus is gone. It was rather unfortunate timing. Our daughter was at that moment on a call to her cousin in Germany, and she heard Kathy then call out that their precious dog that had been trusted to us was gone. She panicked. She was inconsolable. She called her mum in another part of Germany, and then she called her brother in Japan, and she called her dad, who was in the US at the time. It seemed like within 10 minutes, the whole world knew of our incompetence in terms of looking after this dog. I instructed my daughter, please put up a notice on Facebook, you know, Labrador, call this number. And then we stopped and we prayed. 5 minutes later, phone call, and it's a fellow who's living 200 metres down the street. You say, yeah, no, I've got your dog down here, we're just sitting watching telly. So we came down and picked him up. There was no drama. The point is this: if you're going away, it is so important to trust your valuables to someone reliable who will look after them in the way that you intended. Just as a side note to that story, 2 days later I was walking Rufus around the streets near where we lived, and this guy strolled up to me, a fellow I'd never met, and he looked at me and he looked at the dog and he went, is that Rufus? My brother's dog had become better known in that area than me. Anyway, there you go. Jesus tells a story of a man who's going on a journey, and he calls his servants and entrusts them with his wealth. And we need to understand it's an enormous amount of wealth. The translation we just had read first uses the word talents. That can be a bit misleading. When we hear the word talents, we think of abilities or something like that. But that's not what it is. It's a measure of weight that then became a measure of wealth. And so what we're to understand is that they were entrusted not with a bit of money, but with an enormous amount of money. The commentaries tell us that a talent was not one, but 20 years of a laborer's wages. 20 years' wages was one talent. So 2 talents was the equivalent of what a laborer would earn in their entire lifetime. And bear in mind that one of these guys gets 5 talents. I looked it up. Their national minimum wage has recently gone up to just a little over $21. You multiply that out, that's around about $800,000 in today's money, in Australian dollars. 1 talent. $800,000, right? So if we get that, that's the kind of sum that we're looking at. Jesus is saying, this is an extraordinary amount of money that has been given. So another translation we sometimes get is bags of gold, which is probably much better. That kind of captures this idea that it's an extraordinarily valuable thing that he's been given. But what is on view here is that the Lord gives responsibilities in the light of the person's abilities and opportunities. It's not an ability. So again, the issue with the word talent is we think, oh, someone's very talented, they can play piano. No. This is the main point of the story is about faithfulness. Faithfulness of the servant towards the absent master. The master is gone. He's entrusted his servants with this wealth. The point of the story then is about their faithfulness. Notice the key word, faithful, is used twice in verse 21 and 23. 2 servants, 2 of the 3, are described as faithful. All servants are called to be faithful. Now, we'll come back in a moment to what that might mean for us, but there are some secondary aspects to the story as well. 1 servant receives 5 bags of gold, another 2 bags of gold, and the 3rd one, 1 bag of gold. Then the master went away. The one who had received 5 bags of gold invested and made 5 more. The one who had received 2 bags of gold invested and made 2 more. Verse 18, but the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. How should we assess that? If you think about that, that's kind of the safe option, isn't it? It's the old equivalent of kind of putting the money under the mattress. It's just, and this is what was done in this time. And it was a reasonably appropriate way to kind of store things, as long as you could remember then where you'd actually dug the hole and buried it. What's wrong with that? How should we assess it? Notice that the master's response, he didn't say, well done, but called him a wicked, lazy servant. Wicked, that's a pretty harsh assessment, isn't it? Well, we need to think economics for a moment. And Eric was telling me before, he's not big with numbers, but stay with me, Eric. There's a thing called the rule of 72 in economics. And if you take 72 and you divide it by the rate of compound interest, then you get the number of years it takes to double your money. So, we'll make it easy. If the rate of compound interest is 7.2%, you take 72 divided by 7.2, every 10 years your property would value, double in value. Or different maths, 72 divided by 10, if the compound rate of interest is 10% per annum, then in 7 years or 7.2 years, it would double. And so need to bear this in mind, that the master went away not for a short time, we read, but for a long time. So even if the man had only put the money, as it were, in the bank to just get a little bit of interest, over that long period of time, it would have doubled. The master didn't have an unrealistic expectation of the return on his money. But he absolutely expected that it would be invested wisely and it would generate a return on his investment. Remember, of course, that the third servant is too given an enormous amount of money, 20 years' wages, bang, that's what you've got, $800,000 if you like. But he did nothing with it. He hid it in the ground. The application was to the original Pharisees. They had received the law from God. They preserved it unchanged. But they didn't use their responsibility well. They'd been given this great gift. They wanted a religion without change, without risk. And they were heartily condemned for it. They were called worthless, wicked, lazy. And they'll have their prized possession, the law, taken away from them. Worse still, they'll find themselves outside of God's kingdom. See what he says there in verse 30. Jesus paints this gruesome picture. There'll be a weeping and gnashing of teeth. But of course, the application goes wider than just the Pharisees. It applies to all who are determined to maintain the status quo. It applies to everyone who wants to hang on to things without making any change. We can draw a parallel between the spiritual and national and natural phenomena. At our home church, St. Swithin's Pymble, they've recently started again exercise classes for seniors. Terrific idea. The seniors come along and they do kind of gentle exercise just to get a bit of movement going. When it comes to muscles, the axiom is clear. Use it or that's the way it works, isn't it? If you don't do any exercise, then the muscles atrophy further and you can do even less. Whereas if you use the muscle, then you can train it and you can then carry heavier loads, or you can do more with less effort and you don't injure yourself. Jesus reminds us, to those who have, more is given. But if we lie in bed and do nothing, atrophy takes over and we find ourselves able to do less and less. It's the same in the physical realm and the spiritual realm. The spiritual realm, when we act faithfully, when we use the responsibilities that God has given us and make the most of the opportunities, our capacities grow But if we do nothing with what we've been given, our ability to respond diminishes. I think we all need to hear this message. It's a potent challenge to all to respond to service of the Master. Regardless of our physical capabilities, it's a warning against being slack or lazy or acting out of fear. Notice the response that both the 5 bags of gold guy and the 2 bags of gold man get. It's the same response. They receive an identical commendation from the Master. See verses 21 and verse 23. Verse 21, his Master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your Master's happiness." Both used wisely what they had been given. Both were subsequently put in charge of many things. The point is, it's not the quantity of the talents or the gold that matters. It is how we use what we have been given. If we use it responsibly and wisely and courageously, we will have the Master's commendation and will be given an even bigger responsibility. It's only those who don't even try. They are the ones who are condemned, who do absolutely nothing with what they've been given. They are the ones who are condemned. So let's take a moment to think what that might look like at church. Now, obviously I don't know this church well. I don't know you good folk here. But it is obviously a church in Sydney, and all churches in Sydney are on a global scale blessed in terms of the amount of resources that we have at our disposal. Verse 29, the main point of the parable is that we all need to be ready for Christ's return. 2 of the servants understood that, and probably all of the servants in this story understood that the Master would return. We're reminded in the first part of the parable, we must be ready. The Master is coming back. And being ready involves more than playing it safe, more than just taking the things that we have and kind of burying them in the ground. Rather, we are to use what we've been given in service that produces results for the kingdom. So the question that arises is, how might we use our time and our money and our resources that God has given us in a way that we believe is most in accord with God's desire to make disciples of all peoples? Where is our potential in this church for numerical growth? Sure, we should harvest the low-hanging fruit, as it were. But our mission field also includes the hard places, the rocky ground, as it were. Can I remind you, that's where BCA comes in. BCA is ministering in the hard places, the under-resourced places in the rural areas and remote areas of Australia. This church and BCA are in a very real sense like the first 2 servants. Compared to most churches around the world, we have enormous resources. We have, to use the language of Matthew 25, many bags of gold. And no doubt this church has a history of using those resources wisely. But the responsibility remains to seek to gain more, to use wisely and courageously the resources that have been given to us to support kingdom growth, both here and further afield. Now, I can assure you that the application of this passage in many parts of the world, in many churches, would be to give more money. But that is not what Jesus is saying here. It is not a call to give, it's a call to use. To be wise in using what we have. To be faithful in using what the Master has given us. The servant is condemned for his laziness, for doing nothing, because he acted out of fear, not out of faith. The Master doesn't refute the servant's premise, notice, that he harvests where he hasn't sown and gathers where he hasn't scattered seed. But he works from that premise. And see what he says in verse 27. In that case, he says, you should have at least put my money in the bank to earn a bit of interest. But you did nothing. You had 20 years' salary at your disposal. You had $800,000, as it were, at your disposal, and you did nothing. Friends, Jesus is coming back. And when he returns, none of us will hear from him, well done, good and successful servant. What we hope to hear is, well done, good and faithful servant. We are called not to success in worldly terms, but to faithfulness. Acting in faith, not out of fear. With wisdom, not laziness, not recklessness. So let me remind you, apart from the financial resources that you have, we all have relational capital. We all, put more colloquially, know people. We have friends. We have non-Christian friends and family and neighbours. The NCLS data was released recently. And let me give you the national results for two of the questions asked. This was one question. If you asked 10 non-Christian people you know to come to church, how many on average would say yes? So think about that. You asked 10 non-Christian people that you know to come to church, how many on average would say yes? Second question. Do you think do non-Christian Australians believe that religion is good for society? Do non-Christian Australians believe that religion is good for society? So, first question first. What do you think? If you ask 10 non-Christian people you know to come to church, how many on average you would say yes? Do you know what the answer was?
None.
1, 2 is the answers I've heard. 3 in 10 people said they would come if a friend asked them. 3 in 10. Of the other 7, only 3 said a hard no. And then we'd ask, what might sway it for the 4 undecided people? And they asked this question. Is it the church being more accessible? Would that be it? Or more modern in its values? Or more polished in its presentation? The overwhelming response, and I think this rings true, the overwhelming response was that they'd be most likely to accept an invitation if they knew it was important to the person who was asking them. That is, if they were asked, listen, my friend, this is really important to me for you to come along to church with me. Would you please do that? That was the main thing that was going to make a difference. If they were confident, if they believed it was important to the person asking, and secondly, that they were confident they would be welcomed. On that second question then, of whether non-Christian people think that religion is good for society, it was about 50-50. But then asked to describe a Christian they know, the top 5 responses were caring, kind, honest, loving, and generous. You know, that sounds to me like we are actually pretty good for society. We might think we have a bad rap, but they are five very positive things. That is still the pervasive view in our society. So let me finish with one question for you. The question is this: what is one conversation you could have this week with one friend, one neighbour, one relative? What is one conversation you could have this week, one investment you could make in a person which under God could bring kingdom growth? Let's pray. A gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gospel, the life-changing gospel. Please strengthen us to act with courage and wisdom and faithfulness and not fear when we have opportunities to invite people to come under the sound of the gospel. Give us courage to have the conversations you provide for us to have, to make the invitations to our neighbours and family and friends to hear this good news of Jesus. Father, let us not be found wanting in utilising what you have provided for us. Please, Lord, in your mercy, continue to build your kingdom here until that great and glorious day when the Lord Jesus returns. We pray in his name. Amen.
Thank you, Paul. We'll now stand and sing our final hymn, which is Go Forth and Tell.
Thank you very much.
Please be seated. There are notices.
Yes. We're sort of in the hump of Synod. We've done the 3 days this week and 2 more days to come, Monday, Tuesday. Continue to pray for your Synod reps. The good news is we made a contribution. We, I say, is Rani. And it was just marvellous and very encouraging. I was so proud of us and her to be able to stand up and have our name mentioned, and for Rani to give such a moving and compelling, quiet and gentle but solidly truthful contribution that I believe swayed the Synod to see sense and reason and vote the correct way. So thank you for praying for our Synod reps, because they're doing a great job. Celia as well is more on top of the ball than most people on the front stage there. And everything she points out that needs to be changed, they go, oh, we should change this. So good work on all your Synod reps, and I just sit there and take the glory. So it's fantastic. So 2 more days to go. We have Parish Council will be on next Sunday. I believe, after church, yes. I'm getting a nod at the back there, so I'm right. I like to be right sometimes. And two people having, well, we had Mark had a birthday recently. We've got Hugh Crawford's having a birthday, and Harry Hummerston's having a birthday this month. So we praise God for those people and continue to pray that they will enjoy his blessings upon their life. Are there any other notices that people need to give?
Just
with
Constitution
2 weeks. Ooh. Oh, should we condolences? Yeah, it'll be fine. All right, then that's the end of our notices. Thanks.
Let us say this last prayer together. Father, take us and use us to love and serve you and all people in the power of your Spirit and in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.
I did want to say thank you to Paul and Kathy for being with us today and sharing with us all about BCA, which we love to hear. And I do encourage you to get your grey nomad vehicle and travel around. But also the word so clearly presented to us and the challenge therein. Thank you very much.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ. Amen.
And just like in the zoo, we exit through the gift shop. Please exit church through the morning tea stand.